This is the Christians Together website serving the Christian community in the Scottish Highlands and Islands. Speaking to a Church of Scotland minister the day after his denomination, meeting in General Assembly, voted to accept clergy within the National Church who are living in homosexual relationships.
Well, we're speaking to Roddy McCrae, commonly known as Roddy Barvis. Hello, Roddy.
Hello there, how you doing?
I'm not so bad. And you're the Church of Scotland minister at Glenelg.
Yes, that's right.
Now, we're speaking, Roddy, in the day following quite a momentous decision by the Church of Scotland in General Assembly to formally accept gay clergy. Is that the case?
That's right, yeah. From my understanding of this, they've accepted all those who are openly practicing now prior to 2009, and the whole theological commission thing for the next 2 years will be to simply marry up that with new people coming into ministry and making it all even, so to speak, with that legislation they passed for the previous ministers with new ministers. So, yeah, by 2 years' time, you will be expecting the whole thing to be in place by then.
So you're presupposing that this theological study will in fact endorse the position adopted thus far?
Well, I'm fairly confident that that will be the case. Certainly in the way the voting went, by the number of people voting in a different way from even 2 to 4 years ago, and the different issues that arose in the similar area, you can see that a significant change within the thinking of the church. For me, to be honest, when I saw and when I hear people speaking, never mind the personal experiences, but even talking about the Bible, it's either they haven't read the Bible or they don't care what the Bible says. And if we're worth our salt, and we firmly believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and we trust him and his word, We will always struggle to fulfill it all, if you know what I'm saying. There'll always be struggles, but by his grace and Holy Spirit, we are able to persevere and work through the difficult things. A lot of people don't want to do that now. And as far as I can see, we have capitulated to society. And I may be hurting too much to say what I... other things that I think in terms of the leadership of the church and the way the leadership of the church has taken the whole denomination. I mean, you've got people who don't believe in the virgin birth. You've got people who don't believe in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ or his resurrection. And they are acceptable within the church. But now, kind of people like myself who believe that the word is inspired are marginalized and perhaps even treated as a disease within the church. I mean, it's a sad day for Scotland. It affects every church, and we really need to think through where we go from here as an evangelical body for the glory of God, for the sake of the people of Scotland.
Now, when you say where we go from here as an evangelical body, I take it you're talking collectively of those within the church who would hold fast to the Bible's teaching.
Yeah, I have to be honest and say that I'll probably be one of the people who leave the Church of Scotland, and over the next few months I'll be working that out in my mind and speaking to various different people. When I talk now about the collective evangelical body within Scotland, I'm definitely talking about a wider group of people than those in the Church of Scotland. I think my problem is that our witness is weakened, and society knows that we're wavering from left to right and we have no moral voice. They know it, and we just don't know it. So I think it's important for us as evangelicals to kind of come together now. I've been speaking to a lot of different people within the Church of Scotland and outside of the Church of Scotland. They all agree, but we now have to just come together. Even, you know, little things that separate the evangelicals, whether it be, you know, infant baptism or credo baptism, I don't think these things should separate us now because of the state of the evangelical church in Scotland.
Now you're talking there across a very, very wide theological spectrum, Roddy.
Exactly.
And what you're saying, if I hear you correctly, is that the nature of the situation and the seriousness of it is requiring us to, in a sense, put aside some of the theological differences that have historically separated us.
Correct. Absolutely. I think it was Mark Driscoll who said something like, you know, the glory of God is bigger than our issues. And, you know, there is still a strong evangelical movement in Scotland, but it is greatly divided and weakened. And I think it is surely now time to realize that, you know, in some places we're fortunate to have 6, 7, 8% of people going to church. In other places you have 2%, you know, in some places, in Edinburgh, for instance. It is absolutely time to rethink our approach.
But we have, as you know, Roddy, even in the Highlands, the smallest of villages with up to 5 Presbyterian denominations.
I agree, and that's exactly where I'm going in my thinking. We've really been blessed in the locality here with a great unity between, for instance, the Free Church and the Church of Scotland guys. We've been talking locally about doing a joint communion service where we shut all the congregations and everybody meets in one place, yet to be defined, but we're working on that. We've worked on an apologetics month where we had tough questions and we shared each other's pulpits. We're already doing these things, and you know, whatever mistrust we have on a national sense of whatever organization we belong to or don't belong to, what we've actually seen is a bunch of evangelicals saying, we can do this.
But you see, and it's great to hear that, Roddy, but you are talking at a personal and relational level.
Mm-hmm.
The backdrop, of course, and, you know, we don't want to single out any denomination, but the Free Church is split over psalms and hymns. It split in the year 2000.
Yeah, sure.
You know, are these not wounds that first need healing?
Yeah. I mean, that issue that you raised there with... that split, I'm not entirely sure it was psalms and hymns, but I think, you know, a lot of the splits that tend to take place are usually personal, personalities are involved. I call hymns and psalms a secondary issue. And that is why I would call the evangelical people of Scotland to wake up and understand the main issues that need to be focused on. And that's my call. And for us, therefore, to work together and allow the secondary issues to be important to us to a degree, but not to be the fundamental issues that separate us any longer.
Yes, but I guess my question would be, these issues, mm-hmm. listening to what you're saying in your own situation, are being resolved at a personal level.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes.
With flesh and blood around you.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not being resolved at a denominational level.
Sure. Well, yeah, actually, what is going on here is being noticed, for instance, in the denominational level of the Free Church, for instance. We were all involved in a monthly record article, for instance, as a way to progress evangelical unity. Now, we don't all agree on the same things. There are little issues that will make us different. I'm saying it's doable. But it certainly needs a humble heart thirsting for the glory of God, which means that we will be able to put our secondary issues to the side. So what we're doing here is working, and it is beneficial. Not everybody likes it, however. I fully accept that. And I'm hoping that in all the small areas around Scotland where you mentioned 5 or 6, you know, different denominations, it really is no use any longer. And there'll always be some who will not join with others. We accept that. But there are people who can work together and who should work together for the sake of the community and the glory of God.
Now even with that, say, honourable thought in mind, there are practical issues. Sure. You talked about perhaps leaving the Church of Scotland as a denomination, and we know history tells us that the disputes there are over buildings and all manner of things, sure. legalities. Mm-hmm. There is, I'm sure, for every minister at least, the consideration of, does he have his family support? Does he have his local church leadership support? Does he have his congregation support?
Sure.
And that will vary from place to place.
Absolutely. Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that is the issue here. I mean, in one sense, in my wife's instance, she was very hurt and angry because she realizes that this is going to have an impact on us as a family. But my main calling is to the glory of God, for the Lord, and family comes after that, and then church after that. And once we get the wrong balance, we will mess it all up.
So what you're saying, or what I think I'm hearing, is that fundamentally your allegiance is to God, and for the sake of your conscience and spiritual well-being, that has to be first.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, I wouldn't be the first person to have a regular job, if it needs to be the case, and, you know, do some preaching and teaching and discipling within the local church. I'm okay with that.
So you're talking about a tent-making form of ministry?
There's all sorts of possibilities. I've been offered various different things from various different groups throughout the months, but I'm going to take my time about it, and I'm going to sit down with evangelical brothers to see where they're at. Some will have congregations who will want to leave entirely. Some will be just ministers with a few people, and ministers with none. So there's going to be a mix of everything. And that is the difficulty when you're coming out of, for instance, an organization like the Church of Scotland.
Now, I mean, in terms of the situation we've become accustomed to, I mean, you're talking about a real paradigm shift, a complete upheaval, in a sense, of what we've become accustomed to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
so would you be open to, say, the notion of team ministry?
Absolutely. Well, that's precisely where we've learned a little bit recently here. And I think the deepest desire we have here in the locality of Skye and Lochalsh is that very thing. Where we've experienced a real blessing of sharing the work of Christ in this locality. So yeah, there's a lot of different options in front of us. There are some ministers who will leave the Church of Scotland, even in this area. And they may go into a different form of ministry. They know they've got some sort of support in different things. And they may go into, for instance, say addiction ministry. Or whatever. There's various options in front of us.
Now, apart from the ministries that clergy can and do what function within, what's the role for the wider body?
Well, I think the whole dynamic changes, of course. And not only from supporting your minister, but a whole different outlook on the purpose of the church, the reason we exist, the gifts that God gives us. And so, there's a lot of things that will change, will inevitably change. On the other hand, there are going to be people who will not want to change. And they will probably try and remain within the existing body of the Church of Scotland.
So do you feel this is a watershed moment?
Well, the watershed was 2 years ago for me. And when I was just watching the debate, I was absolutely certain what was going to happen. I could see it. And we've drifted away from. I mean, it was clear by what some people said. They don't even believe in the Bible. They don't believe the message of the Bible. When people make the Scripture say what they want to say, we've become God, we don't trust Him and His Word and His inspiration, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the role. The new, you name it. It just keeps on spiraling out of control.
I suppose we fashion God in our own image.
Yeah, there is always a danger, no matter who we are, thinking that, you know, we've become so deeply religious that we think everything we do is absolutely right. I mean, I'm no different. I'm always warned if I read the Scriptures honestly and openly. I see times where my agenda comes out when it isn't necessarily God's agenda. We're all open to that criticism. But at the end of the day, when we undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ the way it was done there in the General Assembly in 2011, I have to say to myself, you know, I can't do this anymore. I can't. I'm looking at new options, definitely. Mm.
So what would be your message, Roddy, to the many up and down our land, your good wife included, who are feeling very much the pain of all of this?
Well, if you are intent on the glory of God, one thing I do know is that he will provide. He will not leave us. We need to trust him, and we need to trust his word again and simply follow him and be like Jesus. And that goes against the religious grain as it goes against the sin grain. We need to follow Jesus and be like Jesus. And I am absolutely confident of this. If we humble ourselves and submit to his authority and glory and leadership, he will raise the church in Scotland up again. And I use that church in Scotland rather than the church of Scotland.
When you say we humble ourselves, you're implying that pride is part of the problem.
Well, yeah. When we make his word say what we want it to say, that is a problem. And that goes in every direction, be it deeply religious held views that are not biblical to sinful held views, which are clearly not biblical. The warning is to all of us to make sure that we don't go either way, but that we in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a religion, we're in a relationship. And Jesus wants to change the person, and he wants the heart to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God's greatest desire for us is to become, not only to know Jesus, but to become like him. That's the gospel message. That's why I am hopeful that the evangelical church in Scotland is not done.
And when you say trusting him to provide, I take it you're using that in the widest possible sense.
Sure. Absolutely. Yep. You know, again, revival, I always need revival. I need revival every day. I need the fresh wind and the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit every day. Because if I don't, I'll just rot in my own self. But Jesus has come to redeem us and to reclaim us and to lift us up and to prepare us for the glorious day of his return. And he will finish what he started. And for those not wanting to listen to the voice of Christ, it is our responsibility to lift the name of Jesus up high in word and in deed and in love and in truth.
So are we walking into a new day of hope and expectancy?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think when I reflect on where God has taken me from, being a non-church goer, never liked the church as a young person, went completely bonkers in life, drank, took drugs, did everything, and when I understand where Jesus saved me from, saved me from myself, saved me from the great harm that it was bringing on myself and everybody else around me, I thank Jesus, you know, immensely for his death, him dying in my place. I cannot look at him in my visual mind and say that doesn't matter. I look at him and I weep at what we have done to his witness. Absolutely. It's appalling. And we have capitulated to society. And I'm just calling the evangelicals to stand up and be counted. Love Jesus and be loved by Jesus and love these people by sharing the truth of Christ with them. Yes, I'm very hopeful.
Well, thank you, Roddy. On that note, we look forward to what the Lord will do in our land in these days.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, Roddy, thank you.
That was an interview with Reverend Roddy McCrae, a Church of Scotland minister in the Scottish Highlands, speaking the day after his church and General Assembly chose to accept gay clergy. This interview has been brought to you by Christians Together, a website serving the Christian community in the Scottish Highlands and Islands, and you can find more information at www.christianstogether.net. That's christianstogether.net.